Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. Well, the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand, and he's running really fast. And spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge, and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
To the show, everybody. You're listening to The Confessionals. I am your host, Tony Merkel. Thank you for being here. If you've had an encounter or a story you'd like to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. That's theconfessionalspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the connection section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me. Just get a hold of me. Now, for this week's Art Bell iTunes 5-star ratings and reviews, if you go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review, you get a shout out on the following week's show. This week's shout outs is PsyJ2002, Han525, KDog2002, Fumble35, VenomX737, ObiSean, AngelJanelle1, TigerPanzer2000, Bubba736, WalterWhite1184, JediJemkins, ChadJacobs, TAshley99, Big Head Todd, Mr. CRV117 from the UK, JJ12345 from the UK, FIFA Shit Kicker from Australia, and Colorado02 from Australia. Thank you very much for going to iTunes and leaving those 5-star rating and reviews. It definitely helps our visibility on iTunes grow by the week. So thank you very much. Now moving on to the Patreon shoutouts. If you want to become a patron and help support the show on a monthly basis, go to patreon.com/theconfessionals. That's patreon.com/theconfessionals. And this week's shoutouts is Donna A., Boyd A., and Joshua G., who upgraded from the squads to the groupies. Thanks, guys, for going to Patreon and signing up to become patrons, and we are getting closer and closer to 200 patrons when we will do a 200 patrons raffle. So look forward to that. The more people that sign up, the closer we get to 200 patrons, and we will be doing that raffle. Now, tonight we're bringing on Molly, and Molly has some Ouija board experiences and also some experiences in New Orleans. So I really look forward to this interview with Molly. Let's get to it right now. right, tonight we have a great guest coming on. We have Molly. Molly, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great.
Great, great. So you contacted me a few months ago, and you have some different stories here that you'd like to talk about. First of all, I guess we're going to actually really focus a lot on a haunted house that you're currently living in with your family. And it's funny that this haunted house kind of brought out some family stories through this show. I should say this show brought out some family stories through this haunted house, because you hadn't talked to your family about it really until you started talking to them about the show and stuff. And then they started sharing with you some experiences that you had in that house. Is that right?
Yep. That's actually my childhood home. I don't actually live there, but my parents still live there. So if anything ever happens, they tell me about it, or they keep telling me more about it. And any little thing that happens there. So
gotcha. I just find it interesting how, you know, this show, you start talking to your family about the show, and this all came out, and you just didn't know half the things that your family has experienced because nobody just really talked about it. So that's pretty cool. We'll dive into that tonight. But you also have a Ouija board story and also a New Orleans story, which is always fun to talk about in New Orleans because there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on down there. So why don't we just kind of start off with the house? And I know the Ouija board story kind of plays into the house experience. So what was this house like? You know, just kind of start talking to us about your experiences there.
Okay. So I live in Arizona. So I live in the suburbs, and it's just like, it's a really normal looking, just little house. Like, you would never expect anything to happen there or anything haunted. But every time somebody would come into our house, they would tell us that they had a weird feeling, like the house just gave off a weird vibe. And we never really noticed it, just because, you know, we were in there all the time, until little things started happening to us. I remember one day, me and my mom and my sister, we were at the mall, and then a psychic came up to us and was telling us that, you know, you're going through a lot of bad things right now, and it's because of your house. Like, can I come to your house and bless it? So she actually came to our house, and she looked around. She told us that she had some bad vibes, that she really needed to bless her house. But then she asked us for money, and we were just like, okay, this is probably BS. So we kind of ignored it until more stuff started happening. And so just some little things that would happen, like to me and my friends, or for me and my sister. For example, one day we were leaving the house, and we had this radio in the house that is connected to like house, the speakers around the house, and it all of a sudden it turned on. And this is like a really old school speaker, I mean, an old school radio. So it was just hard to believe that something like that would turn on by itself, but it happened. So I remember we ran into the house and turned it back off, and then we ran out again. And we kind of ignored it. It was just like, maybe something electrical, so, you know, don't think of it too much. But then I remember another instance where me and my friend are sitting in the kitchen, and there was a cup on our island in the kitchen. And then we're sitting there, we're actually talking about spirits and stuff. And all of a sudden the cup moves, like it just moves maybe 4 inches across the island. And we're just sitting there staring at it like, did you actually see that happen? And we did, of course, and we all ran out of the house. It was just too crazy. And it would always be little things like that that would happen to me and my friends and my sister. And we would tell our parents all the time, like, this is happening, or we hear this, or we think we saw this. And they would try to tell us, you know, don't believe that. Don't try to buy into spirits. You're just being paranoid. You watch too many scary movies. It's not even anything like that. Well, fast forward to, I don't know, maybe I was a senior in high school. My friend, she tells us about a Ouija board, and she tells us that she's played with it before and that it works and that we should go get one. So we went to one of those shops in the mall that sells like board games and stuff, and we got the Ouija board. And I never use one. I've never even like seen anyone use one or even knew how to use one. And she kind of told us like the rules. So I don't know if anybody really knows what the rules of the Ouija board are, but apparently it's like, you can't take your fingers off of it once it's on. You have to like call the spirit a certain way. Like you have to do like a certain chant. I don't remember what it was, but you have, that's how you have to start it off. And then you can't take your fingers off of the board until you say goodbye. And then the spirit or the Ouija board says bye back to you. So she taught us that and we did it. At first, it wasn't working at all. And then all of a sudden it would move. And you know, whenever that happens, everyone gets scared and everyone is just like, oh my God, did you move it? And of course everyone says no, but the feeling of it moving is just like, it's just dragging your fingers along. And you could tell that no one is pushing it just because everyone's fingers are on it so lightly. It would be impossible for somebody to push it just because you can actually see our hands like hovering over the board. It's not even really on anything. So it's just dragging us along and it's spelling everything out. And we would ask it normal questions that teenage girls would ask, this thing like, who am I going to marry? Or what's my next boyfriend going to be like? Or something like that. Or questions so that they could see, so we could see it was legit, like, I don't know, what color is my underwear? Something like that. And it would always answer it correctly. I remember we would get into details of the spirit, like asking it, oh, so what's your name? And what year did you pass away? And are you a boy or a girl? And just little things like that. And it would always answer, it would always be fine. I remember one day, I had a whole bunch of my friends over, maybe like 5 or 6, and we decided to play the Ouija board. It was going, you know, just like normal, how we always play it. And then we decided to ask, how did you die? And I don't think that it liked that question. I think this was like a really angry spirit because it ended up saying really bad things to us. And then at the end, it just kept circling over the letters F-U. And it just kept going over F-U, F-U, F-U. And, you know, you can't take your fingers off until it says goodbye. And it would just not say bye at all. And we were so freaked out because we were just like, we're sorry. We didn't mean to say that. We didn't mean to ask you that. We didn't mean to offend you or anything. And they would just keep saying F-U. And then eventually it went straight to bye. And I think that the next few times that we played that, we were trying to be very careful, but we would get mean spirits after that. Like all the spirits that we talked to would always say some form of SU or, you know, like none of your business or go away or something like that. So eventually we just decided to stop playing it and then give the board away. But we should have listened to everybody because, so we played it in this house. And at the time, my grandma, she was living with us. My grandma, she had a stroke. So she, you know, she can't really speak. Like you can't really understand her. But I remember she would always tell us, stop playing with this board. Stop playing with this board in this house. You're bringing in really bad spirits. And no one would really believe her because they're just like, okay, well, maybe she's just, you know, crazy or something. But my grandma is actually a whole nother story too. She would always tell us that she has spirits sitting next to her in this house. And one is a good spirit and one is the bad spirit. And the bad spirit is telling us to stop playing with this thing. And I don't know, like after that, it just felt like all of the bad vibes were in this house. Like you would always feel something very uncomfortable. It would always be a little creepy to be at the house by yourself. So we stopped playing with the board and we would give the board over to like, we would pass it on to our other friends, like ones who would want to play it. And some of them would tell us like, oh, it didn't work in our house. We're going to give it to someone else. But for some reason, every single time somebody new got the board, something bad would happen. It wouldn't be anything bad like, oh, we got into a bad accident or something, but something little, like it was always bad luck. And every time like we would keep it in someone's car, we would keep it in someone's house, it would always be that. So eventually I know one of my friends, she took it to She used to work at a community college. She took it to the school with her because they were going to play it there. And I guess she brought it in there, and I guess she got in trouble because everybody was like, we don't want that in there. Like, it's just, it's not good. It's just bringing bad spirits in here. So she had to throw it away, and we never saw it again after that. But it kind of just broke that little cycle of everyone passing it around and getting bad luck from it, because I think it was just that last spirit that we talked to just brought in everything bad in the house. So that was the last time that we played with it. But the house, things in the house started getting a little bit worse. I remember, like, I would be in my room and I would hear, and I'd be the only one up, but I would hear talking in the living room. Like, I would hear voices or a bunch of people talking. And I would ask my sister, do you hear that? And she would tell me, yeah, I do hear it. And I would ask Tom, and I was like, is it the neighbors? What's going on? But we hear it specifically from the living room. And that's where we would play the Ouija board the majority of the time. Sometimes we would play it in my room, but the majority of the time it would be in the living room. So I would be hearing voices from the living room. And every time I would go out there, there would be nobody. When I would be in my room, I would hear scratching in my closet. And we thought that maybe it was bugs, maybe it was mice or something like that. But where we live, I live in Arizona. It's like 110 degrees. There's not really any mice that I really see here. I mean, I live, you know, in the city. I don't remember the last time I've seen a mouse. So I was like, it can't be any mice. And it would always be scratching in my closet. And it would be so bad that I wouldn't sleep in my room. I would go sleep in my sister's room or something. And I would bring a friend over and we'd be sitting in my room and we would hear the scratching in the wall again. And it was just so terrifying, like all these little things that would happen to us. And every time, like I said, we would tell my parents, they wouldn't believe us or they would tell us to ignore it. And I also remember this one time I was talking to my cousin on FaceTime because her parents were at my house. They were visiting from Boston. And I was showing her, giving her a tour of our house. Everybody was in the backyard except me. And then she says to me, I thought you said everybody was in the backyard. I was like, what are you talking about? And she says, isn't that your mom behind you? And I turn around, there's nobody there. And of course, she's like, no, your mom was standing like right behind you when you were in her room. I was so scared. I ran outside of the house.
Wow.
I was like, there's literally nobody in this house with me. It kind of gave me the chills right now thinking about it because I didn't see it in the FaceTime, but she saw it. So that was kind of crazy. Eventually, my dad, he got a little sick with something. We're not sure what it was, we're not sure what it was or how to get rid of it, but he was just getting really sick and really skinny. And, you know, he would just sit in his chair all day because he really couldn't do anything. And I don't remember who told us this. I think it was my other grandma. So the grandma who lived with us was my grandma from my dad's side, my dad's mom. And then the one who visited us, she was my mom's grandma or my mom's mom. So she told us, there's a spirit in your house, or there's many spirits in your house. There is one that sits right behind your dad's chair, like where it's positioned. There's a spirit that sits right there all the time. And that is what is making your dad sick. And I wasn't too surprised to hear that because I would think like every time I would walk into the house and I would feel something creepy, I would always look in at that corner just because that corner, for some reason, it was just such a little creepy corner of the living room. And when you look at the house, when you look at the living room, like, it's not that it's creepy in general or anything like that. It's a big open living room. There's a huge, you know, TV entertainment system, everything completely normal. But when you're looking at that corner, like, you can just get a bad vibe from it. So she told us there's a spirit in that corner. It is a girl. She's not happy. We don't know what's wrong with her, but she's the reason why he's sick and we need to get rid of the spirit. So one of the things that my mom actually told me was that one day she got all of her friends over to the house, and she invited some monks over to the house, and we're solar Buddhists, and she brought the monks over to the house to bless the entire house to get rid of these spirits, and specifically that spirit. I didn't even remember any of this happening when she told me about it. I was like, where was I? When did this happen? Like, I don't recall any of this going on. And she's like, yeah, I don't think I told you guys. You guys weren't, you probably weren't even here. Maybe it was like over the summer or something. And they came and did a whole blessing with all of us here. Like, you have to have a whole bunch of people here and friends and family and offerings and things like that. And so we kind of made an event out of it. And after that, the house, the inside of the house was blessed, but not everything was completely gone. For the most part, that spirit actually went away. The one by my dad's chair, that one went away. And actually my dad got better after that. And it was one of those things that it was almost like a miracle, because you don't know what made him better or what medicine. Like, if you ask people now, they'll tell people like, oh, I changed my diet. I stopped eating this and that. And it's just like, okay, your diet doesn't really cure you, but okay, we'll take that. But really, I believe it was a spirit that we got rid of that was right there. And so nothing was gone completely, because my mom later told me that there were also spirits outside of the house. We had a backyard that had like one huge tree there, and we used to have a whole bunch of grass. My mom told me that she, because I remember we did cut down this huge tree so we can make room for a pool. Well, my mom was told later that that tree that she cut down was housing a whole bunch of spirits in it. And they weren't even bad spirits. They were, some were kind of bad, some were good. It was just a whole bunch of different spirits on there, and she cut it down. So now they don't know where to go. So now these spirits are roaming the backyard. They're roaming our house. They're just stuck in this area. And when she told me that, I thought it was so crazy. I was just like, you've literally never told me any of this before. I've never heard any of these stories before. Like, this sounds like something that is told in a movie or something like that. I don't believe it. And she's like, no, that's what the monk told us. That's what my mom told me. That's what she felt. That's what she saw. And she said eventually, like, she would get the house continuously blessed by monks all the time. I don't remember any of this. So maybe it was over the summer a lot. It's because I was always gone over the summer. And also, of course, I'm in school, so I would never see any of this. But she said, you know, we would always get it blessed by monks. And there's a specific birdhouse in our backyard. And it's just like a big empty birdhouse. It's like birds don't even come to it anymore just because it's so old and there's nothing there. She told me that she had to put an offering there for a spirit that was just kind of bugging the house, really. He was like an old man spirit. He was not happy because we cut down the tree. He was like the only one left and he just wouldn't leave. He would come into the house and kind of like creep everyone out. Like, there wasn't anything that he would really do. It's just, you know, when you feel a presence there, you know it's there and you know it just doesn't feel good. So he would be in the house, he would be in the backyard. He was just this bad man spirit. And my grandma told my mom that that birdhouse is now his house, though. And he wants food, he wants cigarettes because he used to smoke. And so my mom got him like a whole pack of cigarettes, a sandwich maybe, and then like a shot of liquor or something. And I don't know, she just kept doing it for a little bit, and she was praying, like she would always put it out and then she would always pray. And then she told me that one day she was outside, she finally did it, she prayed, and then all of a sudden she gets this big gust of wind. And here in the summer, there's no wind. It's just heat. And she's like, I don't know where that wind came from or what happened, what it was. And she was like, but all of a sudden I felt better. She was like, after that, I never felt that spirit ever again. And I was like, that's so crazy. Why did you ever tell us this? It's like, well, I don't want to scare you or anything like that, but that's what happened. Like, that's what made this last spirit go away. And I just thought that that was so, like, that was so crazy of her to do that by herself and not tell any of us, or not tell any of us this stuff was happening while we're over here freaking out about all these little things happening to us. And she just doesn't tell us anything. But that was the last time that she felt the spirit, and that she told us there was a spirit in the house. Ever since then, we hadn't felt anything, and everything actually got better. Like, when I walk through the house, I don't feel creeped out or anything like that. If I do, it's probably because, I don't know, I watch too many scary movies and I'm paranoid. But as far as actually feeling any bad vibes, none of that happens. You know, no more voices, no more scratching, no more things turning on and off. I remember also, like, I had this little radio, maybe the size of my palm. It's like a kid's toy. And then, like, you put this little CD in it, kind of, and then you press play and it plays like 30 seconds of like a song or something. I remember I took that into the bathroom with me before I take a shower so I could play it. And, you know, it only plays like 30 seconds, so it turns off. And then all of a sudden, it started playing again. And I was like, there's still spirits in here. Like, they're messing with me. But as far as something bad, I've never felt anything like that. So maybe there is something that's still there, but nothing that ever bothers us. That was the only last time something has actually happened to me, when that little radio played on its own. Other than that, you know, that house is completely fine, I guess, unless someone says otherwise. But to kind of backtrack, my grandmother had the spirits that, you know, she said that she had spirits with her. I remember before we got rid of everything, she was always talking to herself. And I kind of thought, I don't really talk to her because it's not really a conversation to be had. Because I don't really understand what she's saying. Like, she's speaking another language, and also she had a stroke, so it's kind of hard to understand. So I didn't really talk to her much. Like, it would be little conversations here and there. So I was like, maybe that's why she's talking to herself, you know, just to give herself a little bit of entertainment. But she would always be talking to herself, and, you know, talking to the person next to her or talking to the air next to her. And I remember she finally told me one day that, there is a spirit sitting next to me in this house. Like, the bad one. She has like really long hair, and she, you know, she's all dressed in white. She's kind of bad. She says bad things, or she's mean. And the other one that's sitting next to me is really nice. And she tries to get rid of the bad one. And she was like, but the bad one is really strong. And I think, that also contributed to the activity in the house. And that's also the reason why she didn't want us to play with the Ouija board. And my grandma, I didn't see this, but I was told later that my grandma actually got possessed at a funeral that we went to. And they didn't tell me until later, because obviously they didn't want to scare us when it was at a funeral. But my grandma, she got possessed by one of her spirits, and she spoke to my dad, and they said that it was in such a clear voice that you knew that she was possessed, because, you know, like I said, she had a stroke. You can't understand her, but she spoke in such clear sentences, and she kind of told him, like, you know, the reason why you are sick is because, they told her, like, the reason, they told him the reason why you're sick is because you did this in your past life, and, you know, you were really bad, and you're going to be sick forever. Like, there's not going to be a way to find a cure for you. Kind of put her head down, and then she woke up and didn't know anything that had went on. She didn't even know that she got possessed or anything. Everything went back to normal. Well, now my dad, he's not sick with what he was before, but he is mostly blind now, and they don't know why. So that whatever she was possessed with kind of told him that it's going to be like this for you. This is what is going to happen. You're going to be sick with something that you can't get rid of. And I guess that's what happened. And I was like, I can't even imagine that happening. But I was told that story not too long after the funeral happened. But my dad going blind, it happened years later after that. So I was kind of creeped out. Like, I would always remind my mom, do you remember when this happened with grandma and everything like that? And she's like, yeah, I know. So that house, that my grandma being in that house, everything happening there, it was all bad spirits. But all of that, I'm glad to say, is finally gone now. Let's see what else. So other things, I know this is not related to that house, but other things like with my family and like spirits, we in our old house in California, we lived there with, it was my family and my cousin's family that lived in one big house. And there were spirits in that house too. It's like they're following us or something. In that house, I was maybe 5 years old there. I grew up there. I moved when I was like 7. And in that house, I remember like one day I walked to the kitchen like late at night and everything in the kitchen, it started shaking. And I thought it was an earthquake or something. You know, we lived in California, but I remember my other cousins running down the stairs and everyone screaming too, but none of the adults. And we never talked about it again after that because everything stopped shaking. And I, at that moment, as a little kid, I was thinking, well, maybe this is the spirit of our other cousin who passed away maybe a couple of years before that. Well, as teenagers, I talked to my cousins about it that was in a house. And they're like, yeah, that did happen. I can't believe you remember that. Like, we never talked about it. Or we don't even talk about it ever because nobody believed that it happened to us. So we don't bring it up. And they're like, I really cannot believe that you remember that because you were the youngest. I was like, yeah. Like, so I wasn't crazy. So that's not a dream that actually happened to us. They're like, yeah. It's just in that house, there was a lot of spirits in there too. And my cousin would tell me that her older sisters would lock her in a closet, you know, just to be mean. And it was one of those closets that it goes really small at the end. And then it kind of turns into a little corner. I don't know what those closets are called. We don't have those here, but it would be one of those little closets. And she told me that she would be, one, scared of being locked into the closet just because she was one of the youngest ones and they would kind of torture her in there. But two, she said that whenever she'd be locked in the closet, there would be a little girl spirit in there sitting right next to her and like whispering to her and stuff like that. And she would be so freaked out that she would like claw and like scream and try to get out of the closet. And of course, her sisters are not going to let her out. But when we all talked about it, they were like, yeah, I remember like you freaking out because you were in the closet, but we just thought it was funny because we locked you in there. And she was like, yeah, I was freaking out because there was actually somebody sitting next to me in that closet.
Wow.
And yeah, I was just, I got chilled hearing that story because I was like, that never happened to me. So thank God. But that house I remember is creepy. Like, I felt that, you know, there was always somebody behind me or somebody was getting pushed. I think one of my cousins told me that they actually got pushed like down the stairs before by one of the spirits and almost broke their arm or something, but it just wasn't that bad. So I just feel like spirits are following me. Spirits are following my family.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it definitely sounds like it to me. You know, just this morning, I fell down the stairs, but nothing pushed me.
Well, hopefully you didn't break anything either.
No, and I was holding my son too. He's turned 6 months yesterday, and I had him in the left arm, and I lost my footing, and I went down the stairs, and the only thing I could think of is to hold him on top of me as I was just going down. It scared the crap out of him, though. But
oh my God. Well, glad nothing happened to him.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Because that would have been.
Forget about you. Glad nothing happened to him.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I mean, I have a bruised hip and brush burns on my arms and stuff, but he seemed to be okay. So he just scared him a little bit. But I'll tell you what, I mean, you had a lot of stuff here happen to you throughout your life, and it's pretty incredible. I mean, your grandmother getting possessed at a funeral and stuff is pretty bizarre. I've never heard of somebody getting possessed at a funeral and then, you know, talking the way she talked and things like that. Was your dad healthy before that happened?
Yeah, so... before that happened, my dad, even now, my dad is completely healthy, like in all aspects. The only thing would be like a thyroid issue that came and went. But he is like 50, I don't know, something years old. He's like, I don't know, he's completely healthy. So it's just so bizarre to everyone and to the doctors and everything that anything would happen to him. Even his eyesight now, they don't even know what type of condition he has to make his eyesight go bad or just go, actually. So it's just bizarre that something like that would happen. And for the longest time, I just put it on those spirits. Like, I still think that it is the spirits. I really believe in a past life. And the fact that they said, like, you... did something bad in your past life to make this happen, I really believe it.
Okay. So was this like something that there was a haunting going on in the house before the Ouija board?
So there were always little things that would happen in the house before the Ouija board. It was just, I don't know, a feeling, but it was never anything that anybody would pay attention, just because I don't ever think that it was a big deal. Like, I would always put it off as, oh, I think we're just being paranoid. But when we brought in the Ouija board, we really noticed a whole bunch of things happening. A lot more spirit activity happening. So I don't know if the Ouija board actually brought in all the spirits. I think there were maybe spirits there before, because my grandma did say that there were spirits in the trees outside. So I think that they were there before, but I think the Ouija board just kind of opened like up a door to more spirits and more bad ones.
Yeah. I mean, that definitely sounds like it. I mean, if your family is being haunted by these spirits and then the Ouija board kind of opens up a doorway for more to haunt you, and these aren't, you know, necessarily the nicest entities, do you guys have any idea as to why this is happening? I mean, who cares about what your faith is and things like that? I mean, there's plenty of people out there with the same kind of faith. So what happened? I mean, do you have any clue as to what started this stuff with your family?
I have no clue. I just think, I don't know, for some reason, I always just thought, well, maybe ghosts are just following the whole family or something like that. They're spirits. So I don't actually know if there's anything that happened. Yeah, I don't think so. It's just so weird. I think that there's, I don't know, maybe something happened with like my grandparents, like way back then, or like other parts of the family. And then just spirits are just, you know, kind of around the entire family. But honestly, I feel like I have more stories and like spirit activities and stuff that happen involving my dad's side of the family as opposed to my mom's side of the family. So maybe that could be something too. Maybe something happened on his side of the family that we don't know about that invited all these spirits in. Because, I mean, really thinking about it at this moment, I have no stories with my mom's side of the family involving spirits, except my grandma on my mom's side telling us that there are spirits in the house. But other than that, there's nothing. And from his side, I can tell like 50 million stories about like other people's houses from that side of the family being haunted and stuff like that.
So you said earlier, in fact, I think it was towards the beginning of this interview, that a psychic, and remind me if I misremember this, but a psychic came up to you guys and told you about your house and then went to your house with you guys and then wanted to charge to service the house, right?
Yeah.
And where were you when this psychic came up to you again?
We were at the mall.
That's what I thought. I just didn't want to misremember.
Yeah. Yeah, we were at the mall and she was with her daughter, I believe. And yeah, she just came up to us and just told us, like, this is all, you have a lot of bad stuff happening at your house. We need to get rid of it. And she came to our house, walked around, did feel that it was bad and wanted to stage it, and wanted to charge like maybe $200 or something just to try to get rid of the spirits or whatever way that she did. And, you know, we're just like, yeah, we don't believe you anymore just because we know you want the money. You just preyed on somebody. But in hindsight, like, maybe she was right.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe
it wasn't a load of BS.
Yeah, I mean, but I mean, is that a common thing? Because for me, I live in the Philadelphia area. If somebody comes up to me and tells me something about my house, I'm not bringing them to my house. Like, I don't trust people like that. Maybe it's a me thing. Maybe I just don't trust people. But like, why did she come to your house?
I've never even thought about that before. So I think my aunt who does, even my, so my aunt, she does, engaged like in a lot of spirit activity. Like, she's even now, she can see and hear spirits and everything. I think she did ask us that one time, like, why did you bring this lady to your house to do that? That's so crazy. But I think, and it was my mom's decision, like, my dad wasn't there or anything, so maybe my mom felt that maybe she is right, there is something, and I've been feeling something, and that's why she let her come. But yeah, I never really thought about that before. Why did we let her come? But she was like, she looks like one of those like old, like, you know, aunt type of ladies or something like that. She's just, maybe she looked trusting.
Yeah. Well, it's the ones that can project the trusting image that you got to worry about.
Oh my God. You're right. She'll have like a whole gang with her behind her. Like, oh my God, I got into these people's houses. Come here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think she's ever done that to anyone. I don't know. It just seemed like, like she doesn't really do that often now when I think about it, because I remember that day just so specifically, like all the time, and we never talked about it again after that. In fact, I think my mom told us to not tell my dad that this happened just because it was something so crazy.
Yeah, I think it's bizarre. To me, it's bizarre. I'm like, what the heck? Like, I would never. Like, I mean, I talk to a lot of people, and, you know, through virtual media and over the telephone, you build up a trust with a lot of different people that you talk with. But to bring them to my house, is it like, for me, it's a whole nother level. Maybe I'm just more protective, but like, there's very few people that I allow to come to my house. That's just, I just don't trust a whole lot of people, I guess. Maybe it's a me problem.
Maybe it's a regional thing.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we just didn't really think about it. Like, oh, we live in the suburbs. We just met this lady in the mall. It can't be that bad.
Well, I mean, when you ran into this lady, that whole, the cup moving on the island thing, was that before or after you ran into the psychic lady?
So actually, now I'm putting the timeline together. This lady, she came up to us like right when we moved to Arizona, like near the beginning. So I moved here when I was 7. She probably came up to us, maybe I was about 8 or 9. So we were still fairly new to the area. And so that was in the very beginning. None of the stuff, the little stuff that happened, none of that happened until I was a teenager.
See, that lady brought something to your house then. That's what it is.
You're right.
She was up to no good. I'm telling you, man.
She tricked us. She told us she wanted to get rid of everything, but really she brought it all in.
Yeah.
Right. And I would think like, oh, maybe somebody died in this house. And it wasn't that at all. Like, the guy who sold us our house, I think he had bought it brand new. Like, it was just built brand new. And then he lived there for a few years and he sold it and retires or something like that. So it's not like anybody died, or I don't think there's any, you know, the house is built on top of anything like that. So I don't know where those spirits came from.
You know, I think that's pretty clear. I mean, you had experiences before the Ouija board. And so, I mean, the common denominator, you can't really even include that because there was things happening before that. But, you know, you said things vamped up after that, which, you know, take it or leave it as it is what it is. But, I mean, you said that you heard, I think you said it was was it a female voice that you heard talking in the living room?
It was a whole bunch of voices that I heard.
All at one time?
Yeah. it was like a whole bunch of voices like talking to, it sounded like they were all talking to each other.
Was it in English?
You know, yeah. You know, in the scene in Mulan where all the ancestors come out and talk to each other?
Yes.
That's how I felt like it was. It was just a whole bunch of people talking to each other.
Wow. Okay.
And it wasn't, it was in English, but it wasn't any like clear talking. It was like, it was as if it was a bunch of whispering, a whole bunch of people whispering to each other.
Okay. But it didn't sound like some kind of like foreign language or anything like that.
No.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh my God. I would run out of the house if it was any type of language or anything like that.
I know that. I mean, well, that's something that I've been trying to ask people more when I hear these stories, because, you know, you don't know where these entities came from. You know, you don't know if they were American or if they are any kind of person that died, or maybe they're some kind of demonic entity and maybe they would have their own language. You know, I just don't know. So,
right. Yeah. I never even thought about that, but, no, it was on English. So thank God we know it's not demons.
Yeah, no. So, one of my questions here is, you had a woman, I guess, standing behind you that your friend thought was your mom. Did your friend describe what the woman looked like, y'all?
Yeah. So I was actually on the phone with my cousin. So she knows what my mom looks like. And she was just like, you know, your mom, her normal hair, her hair is down, you know, she's shorter than you. So my mom, I'm like 5'6", 5'7". My mom's like 5'4". So when I'm holding the camera up, she's like, yeah, she's kind of behind you. Like you can see her kind of below your shoulder. And she was like, yeah, her hair was down, you know, normal brown. I was like, yeah, my mom's hair is up. She's in the backyard. It's hot here. Like, that's not her.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy. But yeah.
Well, okay. So it was a FaceTime phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. Now, that's pretty creepy, to be honest with you, to have somebody, because I mean, I'm thinking, okay, somebody's there in the room with you. That's what I must have missed the phone call part. But the fact that you were alone in the room and somebody on the other camera says, there's somebody behind you, that's got to be freaky. Holy cow.
And not only that, but, you know, when you're on FaceTime, you can see yourself. I didn't see anybody behind me or anything like that. And the fact that she saw somebody and I didn't see anybody in the camera just kind of made it even more creepy. And at first I thought that, so in my parents' room, there's this huge window that you can see the backyard through. And I thought, well, maybe she saw them through there. And, you know, I thought my mom was in the room with me just because she saw her through the window or something. And she was like, no, she was right there in the room with you, like not behind the window, not outside of anything, right there in the room with you. And that just made it even worse.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, my patrons, they get to watch me do these interviews live. And so it'd be like one of them saying, hey, Tony, there's somebody standing behind you.
That's exactly.
Yeah, I don't think I could handle that. I'd probably end the interview, walk out of the house or something. I don't know.
Now that you mentioned that, somebody is going to play a prank on you and say that.
They already are. You should see the comment. They already are. Yeah, so, but I just won't believe them until, knowing my luck, it'll probably actually happen and I won't believe them then.
Yeah, so that's okay. Just pretend that you don't see anything, you don't hear anything. Just pretend you don't even see their comments.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about New Orleans. I mean, we talked about your house. We talked about the Ouija board. I'm not a fan of Ouija boards. I don't like Ouija boards. I definitely think that when things vamped up in your house, it does surround the Ouija board. So whether things were happening there or not beforehand, a lot of the bad things happened. In fact, you know what? Before we move on to New Orleans, you did mention about when you were dealing with the Ouija board that that you had, you know, things actually happen that it said would happen. What kind of things are we talking about here? Are we talking really bad things or good things? I mean, was it just things like, you know, it was telling you the name of your next boyfriend or what?
Yeah. It would start off with little things like that, telling us who your next boyfriend is, or you're going to date a guy that looks like this or something like that. But eventually, it would say things like, I told you, it would say like F you, it would say things like die, and it would just be like bad threats. towards us, towards people playing it. And I remember one of them, one of the spirits had like a really infatuation with one of my friends. And he would try to, like, he would hit on one of my friends through the Ouija board. And it was really weird. Like, he would say, I don't remember like any of the specific things, but he would say like really uncomfortable, like nasty things towards her. And we were just like, is this, are they serious? And I think, I remember when that happened, this was the same day that it said F you to all of us. So I was just like, whatever spirit we were talking to then, it was really, I don't know, really in, just into her and just really perverted and everything. It was just really bad. But as far as like things happening to us, it didn't really say anything that was going to happen to us. It was just more of whenever somebody had the board in their possession, like something bad would happen. Like they would get some bad luck. Like, oh, I don't know, I had this in my car and now, I don't know, I got a flat tire or something like that. Because I remember one of my friends would keep it in her trunk the whole time because she didn't want to bring it in the house. And then she also didn't know what to do with it. So she would just keep it in her car and something like that happened and she just got a flat tire. It's just little things like that to where it's not a normal occurrence. Like, you know, we don't get flat tires every day. I understand that people do, but just the fact that she had that in her presence and then that did happen to her car, it just kind of, it makes you think, well, maybe that is the board. Maybe the whatever spirits from that board made that happen.
Yeah, I mean, you got some real Jumanji stuff going on there.
I don't recommend anybody playing with a Ouija board. I've never touched one after that. I should have listened to everybody when they told us not to bring it into the house. So now I will always tell people, do not bring it into your house.
Yeah, there's some people, a warning is good enough, and some people got to experience it for themselves. And I think you're the kind that wants to experience it for yourself, because I was always told growing up, don't touch Ouija boards. And I was like, good enough for me. I'm not touching it.
I didn't even know like what the Ouija board was at the time. Like, I had never been exposed to that. I kind of knew what it was. Like, I saw what it was, and I was like, that can't be real. Like, there's nothing real about this. Like, obviously people are pushing this little thing around, but like you said, I experienced it and never again.
Yeah. So why don't you talk to us about this New Orleans story that you wanted to share with us?
Okay. So I went to New Orleans about 2 or 3 years ago, and I like to go to places that are, I guess, haunted. This goes back to the whole you have to experience it for yourself thing. So I like to go to places that I think are haunted, and not to mention New Orleans is just really fun. But one of the biggest reasons why I went there is because we knew about all of the history that it had there and all the hauntings and everything like that. So I went with three of my cousins, and one of them is the one that I lived with in that house that I told you about, the first one with all the shaking and everything. So she was there, and we went on this ghost tour, and we were all, let's say we were just all really drunk then. Like, honestly, we carried a bottle of alcohol with us, like in a water bottle. So we're just like, this is going to be fun. Like, we're going to get drunk and, you know, we're not going to get haunted or anything like that. Well, we all believe in ghosts, but one of our cousins that was with us, she's never seen anything, and she's not sure she believes in it just because she's never seen or experienced anything. And we told her that the person who wants to see it the most will not see it. That's what we've always been told. If you actually want to see these spirits, then you're not going to see it. It won't show itself to you. And the rest of us, we kind of went in there with an open mind, like, yeah, we've experienced this before. We might get haunted, but this is not exactly what we're looking for. We're just looking for a good time. So we went on this ghost tour, and if you've ever been on a ghost tour in New Orleans, it is pretty creepy because it does take you around all the historical sites, and they do have little creepy stories for each part. Well, there was this one specific, I think it was the last stop on our tour, and we had to go through this little doorway in a really busy area. I don't remember which area it was, but there was a whole bunch of shopping plazas, and then there's just one of those it's like one of those doors that looks like it's just plastered on the wall, and you're kind of surprised that it even opens. So he opened it, and we all go in it. I go in first out of the whole group because I'm just like, you know, let's just get this over with. And you go in, and it's dark. It's like a little stairway leading up to some room up on the, like, the second floor or something. And he tells us, like, back then, this used to be, like, part of a brothel. And, you know, people would just kind of go through this doorway if that's what you were looking for. And so it was kind of a little hidden doorway. And we went through it. It was really creepy because it was just all wooden and old and creaky. And for me, I was starting to get paranoid because I was looking over my shoulder at every turn and every little corner and everything like that. That's just how creepy it was. So we finally get to this big room, and the room is kind of like a little, it's almost like a little apartment. It has, like, as soon as you go up the stairs, it's almost like you're going into an attic apartment. So you go up the stairs, and straight to your left is like this dining room. And in that dining room, I think they just kind of set it up for, you know, tours. And it has like two long brown tables so everybody can sit down. And then at the front of the room, it has one of those cabinets that the glass ones that showcase like all the china and everything like that. So it has one of those. And then right next to that is two bedrooms. One of them has nothing in it. The other room has like a bathroom in there, and they're all empty. So we all sit down, and the tour guide starts telling us, oh, there's also like a huge chandelier at the top. So the tour guide starts telling us a story about how in this room, there used to be this prostitute that lived in here. She eventually got pregnant by this man, and it was like a bad, like, I guess, pimp and prostitute situation, of course. Like, he was really abusive, and he got her pregnant. And then when she gave birth to the kid, it was a girl, and she was like 6 years old. She found out that that guy wanted to also pimp out her daughter. Well, the story is she eventually committed suicide and with her daughter. So I think they jumped out of the building. So she had her daughter with her, and she jumped out of the building. She jumped out of the room that had the bathroom in it. So he's telling us the story about how every time they do a tour or something like that, the chandelier starts shaking. Whenever it shakes a little bit, but whenever there's the ghost presence, like, it starts shaking a little bit more. And there's like one long piece that hangs out from the chandelier, and it just kind of spins a little bit more. So they're talking about that, it's spinning, whatever. And me and my cousins, we're just having a great time. We're just not even really believing what he's saying, because we're like, how convenient, you know, your chandelier is spinning when you're telling us about a ghost story. Well, we're sitting at this table, and I'm sitting in the front because we have to turn all of our chairs so that they're facing the front of the room. So I'm sitting in the front. It's one cousin behind me, another cousin behind me, another cousin behind me. The one who really wanted to see all the ghost stuff, she was in the very back. And so I'm sitting there, and behind the four guys, you know, one of those cabinets, one of the doors, it opens, like, it slowly opens. And I'm looking at it because it's just right behind him. And I noticed that it opens because, you know, it's all glass, so the reflection kind of changes, and it shows me like the stairs that were right next to us or something like that. So I'm just like, did that really open? Like, am I just drunk? Like, am I crazy? And I look behind me, look at my cousins, and their eyes are just wide. Except the one in at the very end who wanted to see everything. She saw nothing. But the two that were behind me, their eyes were just completely wide. And I was like, did you guys see that? And they're like, yeah, we saw that. Did you saw something? I was like, yeah. Did you guys see that door open? And they're like, yeah, we did. So we tried it. And then, like, we're talking, and then the tour guide's like, ladies, what are you guys talking about? And I was like, well, that door just opened, so I don't know, is that part of your theatrics? Like, has that ever happened? He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, I don't even know what door you're talking about. I was like, the cabinet door right behind you is open. And he's like, I've never heard of that happening to anybody. And he's like, that's kind of creepy. And nobody on the tour, they really believed us because we were kind of like, you know, the loud ones of the group. And everyone's just like trying to hear those girls just kind of want attention. So we're just sitting here like freaking out because we did see this door open, but we kind of ignore it now just because nobody believes us. So we go to the room with the bathroom in it and we're taking pictures because we want to see if there's any spirits in there. And they recommend us to take pictures just to catch any spirits. I'm taking a whole bunch of pictures. I don't see anything. And honestly, I'm scared to even look at my pictures later because I'm just like, well, if there's something in here, I don't want to see. And all my cousins, I feel the same way. So that was our last night. We go back, you know, we go out later that night. We go to sleep. Well, the next morning, we're all sitting around, you know, waiting for our flights and everything like that. And one of my cousins, she's like, I'm going to look through our pictures. So she looks through her phone and she's like, guys, was there someone in the room with us, like when we were taking this picture? And I was like, of course, there's like a whole tour group in the room with us. And she was like, well, is there anyone that looks like this or is there anybody this small? So she showed us the picture and she's about my height. She's about 5'7". And she shows us this picture that she took. There's like a random table in the corner of the room. And in the corner of her picture, like at the very near the bottom, is like a small dark figure, and it's just completely black, and we don't know what it is, and we're like, maybe it's the back of someone's head. And we kind of try to compare it because one of our cousins that's with us, she's like really short, so like maybe it's her. But we're like, no, you're not, you know, the way this is angled and the way the position you would be standing, like you would look way taller in this picture, and that's not you. It's like the very bottom of her picture. And we're like, maybe it's a thumbprint. So she's trying to like hold her phone to kind of reenact like what she's doing. And she's like, no, my camera's not even there. How would you put a thumbprint up there? And that doesn't make any sense. So at the bottom of her picture, we see a little dark figure, like it was the child. And it's just completely black figure right there. And we sent it to each other. We showed other people. They're like, that is definitely something there. Definitely a spirit. That is not a person. So if I could find the picture, I will definitely show you. And you will be able to see that, yes, it is a dark spirit right there. It was so creepy. Like, I probably looked at the picture maybe two times. I try not to look at it anymore just because I know that it creeped me out just to think about it. Because there was nobody of that size in our tour group that could possibly be right there in the picture.
Yeah, that's definitely freaky. I mean, we've been on ghost shows ghost tours and stuff like that before. We actually went to the Winchester Mansion and different things like that. I mean, even Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, which is really known for, you know, being haunted. But mm-hmm. And we've taken tons of pictures and I've never seen anything in the pictures. You know, but hey, of course it would happen to you. You have all this other stuff happening to you as well. So why not, right? Add more to the list.
Yeah. It's just like one of those things that like when you look at it, you can just tell that it's not even a person or anything. Like it's just like a dark shadow. It's as if somebody is wearing like a black blanket or something. You know how like when you're watching a movie and it shows like the little ghost shape, like the little Casper shape, it's like somebody wearing a blanket.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Somebody wearing a black blanket standing at the bottom of your picture. And so that's why it's just so creepy, because it's no actual like true person form. It's just a dark figure, dark shadow right there.
Jeez. Well, that's just another story from New Orleans that I've heard. I mean, that city is bananas. I think actually I had two people on. Yeah, they were from New Orleans. This couple came on and they talked about being abducted, and it all happened in New Orleans. New Orleans is filled with this kind of stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff.
I believe that story, you know, 100%, because yeah, there's so many crazy things that happen there. And plus, you know, all the voodoo and everything, all the stuff that I would be interested to see it happen.
Yeah.
So I believe it. Have you ever been to like Salem or anything like that?
No, I've never been to Salem. I mean, I could drive up there sometime when I have time, but I've never been there. My friend who was on the show, I don't know, earlier this year, probably about 6 months ago, he has been there. He lives in Massachusetts and stuff, and it's just, it's a crazy area for sure.
Yeah, I've been to Salem before too, and I will have to say New Orleans is way scarier than Salem.
Really?
It's like way more creepy. Like every corner that you walk in New Orleans is just, you know, you just feel something there. In Salem, it is creepy because of all the stories, but I wasn't scared. I think in Salem, like I saw one mannequin that was sitting in a store that kind of freaked me out. Like I thought that this mannequin was like watching me. But that could just be me being paranoid, but that was really the only thing that scared me in Salem though.
Yeah, well, maybe one of these days I'll make it up to Salem and stuff. And even New Orleans, I have a couple friends that live down there. So you never know what time.
You need to go to New Orleans and get all the stories from there. You just go on a interview tour there.
Yeah.
And get all these stories.
I really could. I mean, I could go down there and just kind of walk around and interview people for a couple of weeks and have about a year's worth of shows, you know?
But honestly, because everybody like who live there, the people that we've encountered, they will tell us like, yeah, this type of thing happens all the time.
Yeah, no, I absolutely believe it and stuff. Well, Molly, I really appreciate coming on and sharing these stories and stuff. It's very fascinating. If you do find that picture, do send it over to me because I would love to see it.
Okay, I'll look for it.
All right. Well, you take care, okay?
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Well, that's the show, everybody. I really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, there are three things you can do to help support the show. One, go to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. Two, go to patreon.com/theconfessionals and sign up to become a patron. There's a lot of great rewards with that. Go ahead and check that out. And three, whatever you're listening to the show on right now, whether it's iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, highlight the link that you're listening to right now and share it around social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It doesn't matter where, but go ahead and share it around. And that definitely helps the show out a great deal as well. And until next week, friends, stay safe and take care. And remember, the truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off. Bye.